for listening to Radio 4. The time, 8:30.
Saturday Night Theater.
Thank you. Your attention, ladies and gentlemen, please. Thank you. On Wednesday, the 22nd day of February, 1797, a French force consisting of 3 frigates and some 1,400 men invaded Britain. Their disembarkation point, the small fishing village of Fishguard in West Wales. In view of the fact that by Friday, the 24th of February, the entire force had surrendered to the local militia, historians, nay, even historians of repute, have concluded, albeit naturally, that the whole affair should be dismissed quite simply as a curious, if interesting, incident. To the characters who lived and were involved at the time, however, simply to have been there, to have experienced it all, must surely have counted for something.
Elizabeth Morgan, William Ingram, and Windsor Davis in Frog's Legs and Lava Bread, a play for radio by William Ingram.
From the Pembrokeshire Gazette, February the 8th, 1880. The death of Pembrokeshire centenarian. The death occurred on Sunday morning at the Dufferin Cottages near Fishguard of Blodwyn Probertarou at the ripe old age of 103. Her age is pretty accurately fixed by a statement she was wont to make that she was just past 20 years old when the French landed at Fishguard. She had been bedridden for 8 years. When the historic incident occurred, she was in service at Killshaw near Fishguard.
Oh, Killshaw. Yes, that was it. Oh, anyway, Philip, I was just plain blood probus in those days. Driving his blinking old cow from a field when the French frigate appeared off the coast. 1797 that would be. Yes, on first to spot the things, if you were to ask me. But always somebody round to swear it different, of course. Always rely on, somebody. Always somebody. Somebody.
There. Now do you believe me, Roberts? Just coming round the point. See ya?
Well, my old eyes aren't what they used to be, of course.
Oh, here, borrow my glass.
Glass?
Spyglass, man.
Oh, aye. Spyglass.
Well?
Where's quick that old mist to come down?
Mist? Oh, take your hand from over the lens, man.
Lens?
The front bit.
Oh, aye, that's soft, isn't it?
Well?
Oh, yes. Much better. Wonderful. Oh, there is pretty. Yes, it's a bit far off, fine, but...
Oh, It might also help if you was to put the right end of the thing to your blinking eye, man.
Look, it's all very well for you to get huffy, William Thomas, but mean to say you've been brought up to this kind of thing, haven't you?
What kind of thing?
This kind of thing. I mean, the sea and all that in there is. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. I mean, it always been in your blood. Know all about these blinking old glasses and ships and all that kind of thing.
Well, then, if that's the case, what are you being so damned argumentative about?
I'm not.
You've already admitted, man. Me to say, what do you know about friendships?
Nothing, nothing at all. Except for the one that is supposed to be existing between us. And even that is beginning to wear a bit thin, if you was to ask me.
French ships, not friendships.
Yes, well, look, I can't stay here all day nattering. I've got the cows to milk, the dairy to clean out, and...
Cows? Dairy?
Yes, on top of which, well, Di Dangle's been giving me a bit of trouble again. Yep. You'll never guess what he tried to get up to with that Blodwin the other night.
I am not interested in what Di Dangle did or did not get up to with that Blodwin.
Oh, I just thought you might...
Plenty invasion going on right in front of your eyes, and all you can talk about is Di Dangle.
Invasion, man.
Invasion!
Look, Wath, you may know all about the sea, and maybe you can get on a boat without your stomach turning to water. Maybe a lot of things I'm not saying. But you don't really expect me to stand here watching a blinking old boat come around the point...
Two frigates and maybe more on the way.
And expect me to be so daft as to believe it's an invasion.
Look at the colours, man.
But I already have, haven't I? I said it was a very pretty little picture.
Oh, God, give me patience. The colours at the masthead, the flag. You don't need the glass now, man. They're getting that close in. For goodness sake, keep your head down. Well?
Yes, well, then. Nice big ships, whatever. Well, they're dropping the sails now.
Lowering the sails.
That's what I said.
You said dropped.
Well?
Drop the anchor, lower the sail.
Oh, it's the same difference, isn't it? A nice little crowd aboard, whatever. Mrs. Jones' Royal Oak will be pleased.
Pleased?
With all the extra trade and all.
Trade? Invaders don't trade, man. They spoil.
Spoil what?
Well, they spoil. Take without paying.
I like that cheek.
Plunder. Pillage. Rape.
Yes, well, better not tell our blood about the last bit. You'll have us swimming out to them before they ever get near the shore.
Got you. Caught you out, is it? In the very act.
Blodwin Probert.
I know good, didn't I, in it? What are you both up to, that spyglass, William Thomas? Don't bother. Don't bother watching Mikey Bynum and having a rally, William, all together, isn't it?
There's a fright you'd give me then.
Why?
I thought I'd been surrounded.
Surrounded, is it? Oh, well, with that old belly you've put on lately, take a bit of doing, whatever. Besides, you, in the name of God, would want to surround the likes of you.
The French. That is who?
French?
French.
French.
You've seen what is down there in the bay, I hope?
Why, those old boats, you mean?
Not boats.
Oh, what are they then? On the water and floating, whatever?
Frigates. That's what they are. Three frigates. Three French frigates and a lugger.
Language, if you please.
All right. All right. Don't you take my word for it. Just look at the flag. Right. Now then, what is the flag?
Let's see now. Red, white, and blue.
Mm. Blue, white, and red.
Oh, I saw it is. Well, somebody's just gone and pulled it up back to front, then, haven't they?
Oh, look at the men on board. Go on. Just look at them. Well, now, do they look like spruce British tars in the service of His Majesty?
They're a bit on the scruffy side, I'll grant you. Just back from a long trip, like.
Blodwin, what do you think?
Well, just look like men, as far as I can see.
A garrison has a chance to do anything about it. So... why do you think you heard no answering salvo?
Oh, goodness knows. But where that garrison is concerned, nothing would surprise me. Ah, put up, sir. Been stuck out there so long, probably got their whiskers tangled up in the fire in there.
Blodwin, Probert, can't you be serious for once?
Anyway, boy, or friend or foe, no need to worry your head. Soon find out.
Oh? And just how do you think you were going to manage that, then?
I'll give him a bit of a wave, man.
Oh, wave? Don't get down!
Get off, man. Let me give him a bit of a wave. There's nothing to lose,
be damned.
Not that they'll have much chance of spotting me at this distance, whatever.
Blodwin,
maybe Gwil is right. Maybe you did ought to get down, lad.
Hey, I know. I just hit my petty off.
There, boy.
Oh, what a lovely bit of red flannel. Talking of friendship, boy. I promise the things to come. But nice bright red, mind you. Warning not to take liberties when none is intended.
Oh, Blodwin.
Yeah.
My God. Well, friend or foe now, Blodwin Probert?
Oh, your skin, darling. Point taken, Gwilbach. Point taken.
was.
My larger life.
Twice as much.
Tell him who I am.
Oh, all right. You're telling us, all right.
That bell's on his back.
What's wrong with a lot of you? I mean, surely to goodness you don't think we deliberately...
All present and correct, Corporal Harris.
What? Oh, hi, everybody seems to have turned up, Dan.
Colonel, if you please.
Oh, hi, Colonel, if you please.
Well, ma'am, call the company to order.
Oh, I call the company to order. Bits of order now, boys. At leaders, of course. Oh, bits of order for Dan. I mean, Colonel Vaughn now. Oh, come on, a bit of order.
Order! Order!
Order! Order!
Just look at the pair of them in their bloody elements there.
What was that you said, Davis?
You heard. Your lordship.
Oh, there's a thing to say, sir.
Well, you are, aren't you? I mean, not that they've got me believing any of this ruddy nonsense.
Oh, look, not believe it. Damn it all. Me and Reese here seen them with our own eyes, didn't we, boy?
Oh, nice.
From the top of that blinking cliff, didn't we?
More than up to seeing old Luke himself when you've got a couple of quarts of Mrs. George's three exes swilling around inside you. No offense, Mrs. George, love. But you know what a morning's bout on the old three exes could do once it gets to a man's head.
Oh, I know, all right. If it was only from watching your antics, Willie Morgan, I'd know all right. The only trouble about that argument is that neither of them showed their faces through the door here this morning.
Slipping a bit, aren't you, Quill boy?
Well, on your funds, I expect. As far as that Reese Roberts goes, his old chops won't be welcome through it for a good few future mornings, neither.
Oh,
what about then, Mrs. Jones? Well, he knows how come that. Hasn't fought out yet for the last little shindig he got himself involved in.
Oh, goodness sake, woman. It is not a barroom brawl we are concerned about now. It is war, man. War!
Listen to him go, huh? It is war, man. War!
Like some old bull going to meet his first cow in pasture.
Oh, there's nothing to say, sir.
And you, Willie Morgan, had best keep your farmyard imagery to yourself.
Willie, you ought to be ashamed of himself.
Marvelous thing is education.
No wonder he made it all the way to Colonel in the militia.
The illustrious Fishguard Principals, Davis, if you don't mind.
Of which I have the honor to be Regional Commander-in-Chief.
And tried, unpaid, and unwanted.
Oh, there's nothing to say.
William Morgan, I am warning you. Chairman of the magistrates, too, remember?
Oh, respect.
Anyway, it's we're the dafters to let ourselves be taken in the first place.
Yes.
French, and if we're soft enough to take the word of these two idiots,
hey,
while we've
hey,
got...
you hold on a bit now. Not just Gwyl and Reese. I was there, too, remember?
Oh, sorry, Broadlove. Yes. Three daft idiots.
Oh, there's a thing to say.
The dream.
Oh, no. We're going
to start it all. Enoch off now. Half daft or completely balmy.
But the dream. Coming true, isn't it? Coming true. Use your ears and listen. Use your eyes and see.
All right, Enoch, love. Know all about it.
30 years ago, I had a vision. You know it, men and neighbors. I told it you, unbelieving race. Aye, 30 years ago, a vision of the night. And the future was revealed to me in a dream. Yeah, more than a dream. For I rose up out of my bed and went down onto the rocks. And there, on Carrig Wastad, the Blackies landed.
Blackies, Frenchies, anyone born the wrong side of Swansea, it's all the same to old Enoch.
I saw them. That was 30 years ago. And listen, it has come true. But wait, and listen. You shall hear the brass a sounding as I heard that night. Listen. Listen!
Enoch Barham. Yeah. Well, completely gone, and three more about to keep him company.
Aye. Well, not so daft, not so stubborn as some I could put a name to, whatever.
Ransom, if any.
We are telling her, weren't we?
Hundreds of them.
Well, in that case, might just as well surrender now. Get it over with.
William Morgan.
Oh, there's a thing.
Just as well, man, with you two in charge. Not as though we stand much of a chance anyway. No, surrender now. Make the best of a bad job, as you to ask me.
Nobody was asking you.
Corporal.
Oh, sorry, Dunbar. Oh, I mean, sir.
Now, listen to me.
Instead of protecting our shores from foreign invaders...
Well then, Morgan.
Total armory, half a dozen rusty muskets, a couple of dozen pitchforks, and a reserve supply of brooms. case those old froggies really start getting out
of hand. Morgan, I'll not be telling you again.
No, you save you puff for the onslaught, yes, Harris.
And who is it that has been entrusted with the full responsibility for the beacons, then?
Beacons, indeed. Last time they managed to make it to the top was 6 months back. Bit of practice, like.
Lit up the old thing, cooked half an ox, and is off back home to bed device.
The froggies ever did land. They'll be so busy sleeping it off, wouldn't even know it had happened.
Mark you, Will Morgan. But if they ever did land here, you'd know it all right.
For the umpteenth time, and they have landed!
And it has happened!
Oh, dear, isn't that what he's been trying to tell the lot of you?
Oh, got your word for it, of course. Blood Grover's word for it.
Not only word, neither. What about evidence, right?
What evidence? Well, there's Di Morgan, for a start.
Oh, what about our Di?
Right. Now, just as we was leaving it was, Will.
Well?
His skiff comes round the point, see?
Sails right into the middle of her.
So they drags him aboard, don't they?
Before he's got time to say Davy John's locker.
Right.
Where is Di, Willworth?
Where? Oh, come on now. A bit more of that old bluff, I mean, we all know Di.
Aye, but where is he?
Well, now you come to mention it, he is a bit on the late side, getting back from St. Nicholas.
All right, so he's a bit late.
Never knew in that man, that fancy woman of his, I'll wager.
Giving him a better time than usual, huh?
Any more of that smut in my bar, it's not only this Robert's ale I'll be stopping, neither.
Oh, very sorry, Mrs. Jones.
All right, then, look, forget Di Morgan for the minute, then. If it's real evidence you're wanting... What about my petty, then?
Oh, not that old petty again.
She's got a phobish about that petty.
Aye, but look what they've done to it, girl. Just look.
Do we have to?
No, a ruddy great musket ball right through the backside, wasn't it? Yeah.
Pity she wasn't wearing it at the time.
Nice bit of extra ventilation with the summer coming on, whatever, blood.
Well, it's not ventilation I'm after, Wuss. It's reparation. Tuppence a yard, that bit of flannel cost me, remember? Tuppence a yard. Oh, and if ever I get my hands on that old froggy, it'll be payment in full. Or I'll know the reason why.
Foreign money, blood. No good in you,
Pat. I'll take it out the old devil's hide, then, will I?
If we could return to the subject.
What subject?
Not Bible pitties, for sure.
Oh, very sorry, I'm sure.
If there should be any truth in this rumor that the enemy has landed.
Rumor?
Oh, I give up.
If, I say, the question remains, what is to be the next step?
Next step? No next step.
What are you on about now, Will Morgan?
Well, I mean to say, even if the froggies have come visiting, they're not doing any harm, are they? I mean, they might just have come a little days out in, like. Might just have come to have a little sit on the beach, like.
Sit on the...
And why not?
Three frigates of soldiers armed to the eyeballs coming all this way just so as they can sit on the beach.
Besides, got beaches of their own to sit on, haven't they?
A bit of a change, like.
Morgan, there are times...
30 years ago, I had the vision. And you know it, men and neighbors.
Oh, no, you're not on about these blackies again, is he?
A vision in the night. And there, on Craig was stood, the blackies landed. I saw him. And that was 30 years ago. And yet, it has come true. But wait and listen. You shall hear the brass and the drums are sounding as I heard them that night. Just listen. Listen! Frenchies. The dream, boys, the dream.
Oh, gag the old fool.
The dream.
Doesn't he sound like a froggy knock, whatever.
And how the hell do you expect to tell a blinking froggy knock from a Welsh one?
Hold your tongue, man.
Well, then.
Plunder. Pillage. Rape.
Rape, is it? Come on, Bloodwind Love, you better get to the end of the queue now.
Hey, Colonel. It's up to you now.
Yes, you better make with a bit of the old parley-voos.
You think that I should?
Qui va là?
Who the hell do you think va là? Open up, I've got to cut your bloody death of you.
You will die.
Name of God, only die, Morgan. Come in, Di Oh, has an old turny to give up?
Plunder, pillage, and rape, monogamy.
Oh, you're to be ashamed of yourself, Squiller Thomas.
Let me get up with that fire, for goodness sake.
Look a bit on the nippy side, oh. Was.
Drop your best brandy, Mrs. Dorn, please.
Brandy, indeed. What are you celebrating, and what?
Oh, that's a fancy of his. Got him all lined up for the altar at last.
Never mind, die boy. Give her a good run for her money, whatever.
A bit on the dampish side, too, aren't you?
So could be the old fancy got sick of the sight of him. Tossed him in the arbor for good measure.
Shut up! What are you?
Oh, no harm meant, I. Just having a bit of a laugh.
Oh, I will laugh yourselves out of this little lot, is it?
French. Landed at Caraguasad.
What? Oh. The dream! The dream!
Oh. Well, then.
Now, who's been having you on?
Go on, what? Three boatloads of the devils. Takes me prisoner a couple of hours back when I sailed right in the middle of them coming around a point.
They still could be having us on.
Oh, for goodness sake, man, what do you want? A froggy bayonet in your bottom before you believe us?
Evidence is one thing. But what's to stop Di Morgan? You've been in on the joke too, like. Ah, exactly. Throws himself in the arbor, then puts it out he's escaped from the Frenchies and swam like hell for the shore.
Not a matter of escape, David.
Let go. And all according to plan.
Oh, very likely, I'm sure. Just their style.
They'd have been serving him up with frog's legs now if the Frenchies really had got hold of him.
Oh, still laughing, is it? Now, maybe this'll make you laugh on the other side of your face.
What's that then, Di?
Love letter from the old fancy, I expect.
Colonel, for the head of the militia is what they said, so I reckon this must be for you. Kept it as dry as I could.
Morgan.
Well? Sir?
It's addressed to the head of the local militia.
But from?
Colonel Tate. La Seconde Légion de France.
Well, what are they after, man?
All in good time.
Sorry, well, boy. This...
Bit late in the day for apologies, William Morgan. Action is the thing now, and too much time wasted already. Corporal, couple of men up Corunda and get those beacons going.
But this for the Frenchies I've got there before us.
Risk we'll have to take, and only hope they haven't completely cut us off on the seaside. Mrs. Jones, writing materials if you please, and urgent communication to my Lord Cawdor. William Morgan, I shall be relying on you to see it delivered.
Me, sir, but why?
When you've done that, await his lordship's instructions. If they cut us off on the land side, across to Somerset may be our only alternative.
Oh, dear voice. Trip round the bay this time of night.
William Morgan!
Oh, just come in, Colonel!
Hello! Just a couple of men to get that beacon going!
Just a couple of men right there!
Come on, Reese, boy. No point hanging about you. Getting in the way like...
Well, I'm Thomas, Reese Roberts.
Nay, boy.
Before you were sauntering off, a word with the pair of you, if you please.
Word, Alice?
With us?
Official-like?
Official business, I tell you, so open up in there. Open up, do you hear me? Open up!
How many more times do you retell him? Go away, fellow. What with you?
Oh, so it's fellow now, is it? Well, fellow or not, if you don't open up this door by the time I get to five, I'll smash the thing off its moorings. Do you hear? Right. You've asked for it, my beauty. One, two... Three, four.
God's sake, man, do you know what hour it is? What do you want? Now look, once and for all, I'm warning you, if you don't clear off from here this instant,
You'll what, Toffee Chops? You'll what?
I'll set the hounds on you, that's what I'll do.
Hounds, he calls them. Couple of bloody French sewer rats, more like. I've had bigger than that for breakfast.
But what is it? What do you want, anyway?
How many more damn times do I have to tell you? Vital I have words with Lord Cawdor.
And how many more damn times do I have to tell you that as his lordship's steward, it is in the middle of the night, and therefore vital to me that you don't?
But good God, it's urgent, man. Official communications from Colonel Dan Vaughan of the Fishguard Fencicles to my Lord Cawdor.
All right, all right. So it's his lordship you want to see, right?
Got through to you at last, has it, dumbhead?
Fair enough. So if he was just to come back in the morning, I'm sure his lordship would be only too willing.
Morning be damned. By morning, the whole situation might be out of hand.
As far as I'm concerned, the whole situation already is.
But a matter of life and death, I'm telling you.
For both of us, if you don't keep your voice down.
Won't keep my voice down.
Shh.
To deliver a message I've come, so deliver a message I will.
All right, all right.
Give in, then.
Oh, I give in.
More like it.
Thank you. Now, all you've got to do is leave the message with me and I will see to it.
No, leaving with you neither. Not with you nor nobody else. In person to his lordship, the colonel said, so to his lordship in person it will be.
But just look at it from my point of view. The old man is already retired for the night.
Then unretire him.
Unretire his lordship?
Be on your head if you don't.
But without a head I'll be if I do.
So, risk you'll have to take.
No risk. Thank you very much. No more of anything. Off with you now, or I'm...
Or what, Wuss? Or what?
I'll call the watch. That's what I'll do.
If you don't take that pimping paw off my shoulder, you'd be better advised calling an undertaker.
So it's threats now, is it?
Up to you, Wuss, up to you.
Right, well, we'll soon see about that, won't we?
Jonah, I say!
Jonah Monophony.
Now you're for it.
His lordship...
And her ladyship.
Well, who the hell do you think it is, woman?
What do you need all that shit for, Lewis? Are we being robbed? Murdered?
Oh, stop talking such damn nonsense and get back to your bed. Jonah!
Charles!
Bed!
Yes, Charles, if you wish, Charles, but take care, my love.
Take care, big hand. Jonah, I say!
Your lordship!
Are we to get no sleep this night? What the devil's going on down there? I'll load your ruddy backside when I get my hands on you.
I regret, your lordship.
And don't think you can sniffle yourself out of this one because you're damn well gone.
If it pleases your lordship,
it damn well doesn't please me. Who the devil have you got down there anyway?
A person, your lordship.
Now what the idiot blathering about?
Oh. A lady, you mean?
No, your lordship.
Oh, more the pity. A gentleman, then.
A person, your lordship.
Oh. By God. The idiot's right for once.
Your lordship, servant, and sorry to disturb you and all that, but...
What's that damned awful smell?
Fish, your lordship.
Fish?
Apparently the person is a catcher of fish, your lordship.
Well, somebody's got to, I suppose, but... just move a bit downwind of us, will you? There's a good fellow.
Of course.
Well...
Well,
damn it all, man. I don't suppose you're here just to wreak us out of house and home.
Oh, of course. Well, like I was saying, sorry to disturb your lordship and all that, but right round the bay from Fishguard I have rowed this night, and damned hard going it was too, with the tide on the turn and all that.
Get to the point, man. Oh, Jonah, hold that candle a bit higher. Now then, first things first. Name?
William Morgan, if it please your lordship.
Nature of business. Damn it, why are you here?
Official-like, from Colonel Dan Vaughan of the Fishguard Fencibles.
Fencible business? For God's sake, if it's fencible business you're about, you've no damn business here in the first place.
But an emergency, your lordship.
Emergency or not? If it's some kind of scrape Vaughan can't get himself out of, you should have gone straight to my Lord Milford, Lord Lieutenant of the County.
With all due respect, I'm sorry to interrupt and all that, your lordship, but I think Colonel Vaughan was well aware of that, but thought that in view of the gravity of the situation, like... It might be better if I came straight on here, so to speak.
Oh. did he? Well, I can't say I blame him. Poor old Milford. Brandy on the brain, water on the knee, and half a cask of Madeira swilling round in between. What are you grinning about? Right, let's have it then.
Your lordship?
The dispatch, man.
Oh, the dispatch. Got a bit dampish on the way over, I'm afraid. I took every care, like, but got a bit dampish for all that.
Yeah, not all he's got, either. Well, if Vaughan's expecting some kind of answer, this could take some time. Jonah, show this person into the salon, will you?
The salon, your lordship?
Oh, point taken. Don't happen to have a fish pantry, I don't suppose?
I regret not, your lordship.
Well, if we can't throw him back into the FG, I suppose we'd better leave him standing where he is. Try not to drip all over the carpets. There's a good person.
Gone very quiet in there, whatever?
Not for much longer, though.
Oh?
Take my word for it.
Oh.
Reading it through for the second time now, I should wonder. Really taking it in. Eyes beginning to pop. Now, moving for the door. And by the time I get to three, all hell let loose. One. Two.
three.
Jonah! Jonah, where the hell are you, man?
Here, your lordship.
Well, dumb it, man. Don't stand there gaping like a...
cod, your lordship?
Exactly. A cod. Well, get clothes, boots. Wait, Ned, and saddle the horses.
Horses, your lordship?
Saddle the bloody horses!
Your lordship.
Charlotte! Charlotte! Are you deaf as well as dumb? Wake up, woman, blast you! Wake up!
Told you, didn't I? Cod chops.
Would you believe it, though, Gwebar? I mean, if you weren't up here seeing it all with your own two eyes, would you ever believe it?
How many more times do I have to tell you?
Lit up like a blinking red gutter down there.
Keep your head down.
Oh, stop nagging, man, for goodness sake.
All right, suit yourself.
Safe as out it is at this distance.
Unless there's a patrol breathing down our neck, that is.
Look, if they'd sent our patrols this high, they'd have introduced themselves long before this. I mean, we've been banging up that cliff path for the best part of 2 hours, like a couple of elephants into the bargain. Just because they're froggies don't make them deaf, dumb, and blind to it.
Well... just hope you were right for once, that's all.
Ah, of course I'm right. No, it's when we get that first beacon light from Carrigrostad and put the tinder to our own, our troubles are really going to start.
So the sooner we start getting some new dry stuff together...
Oh, there's plenty of time for that. Relax, man. Take a bit of a whiff. God knows we've earned it.
All right. Suit yourself.
The ratty cheek of a moe. That's it. You've got to admire the blinkers if it's only for their ruddy cheek.
How do you mean?
Well, like we were saying back at the inn, the way they're carrying on down there may be only a bit of a shindig they've come for after all. It's more like a ruddy day's outing than an invasion, whatever. Nice bit of music. Froggy songs. Yes, they're passing the odd bottle around too by the sounds of it, eh?
Probably one of yours.
What?
Probably one of yours.
What's that you say?
You heard.
Why not? Well, how do you make that out then?
Oh, work it out for yourself.
Work what out?
Well, stands to reason, man. Why should they sip their own when there's a cellar full of the stuff just waiting for them at the top of the cliff path?
Oh, come off it, man.
Well, come off what?
Well, there's no saying they've even put ashore yet.
Well, granted. No saying they haven't, neither.
Well, get on with it.
Only that if they have, I mean, just supposing they have. Well, we all know whose little house they'd come across first. Hmm? Don't we, Was?
Oh,
not only settle for the wine, partial to the odd silver spoon, too, I shouldn't wonder.
Oh, the froggy devils.
Bit of a change of heart now, isn't it? Not a minute past he was admiring their old cheek. But rape, plunder, and spoil would be nearer the mark.
Yes, and you can keep your comforting words for those that appreciate them. Thank you very much.
Hey, where are you off to now, then?
Off to Maskelyne. Where do you think I'm off to? Get that beacon ready for firing, of course.
What about that bit of a whiff we was promising ourselves?
Whiff? With the safety and chattels of the whole community at stake. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for even making the suggestion.
Bit of a shindig, eh? I wonder...
Final instructions from General Oesch to the American officer, General Tate, aboard La Resistance. My dear and glorious comrade in arms, how I envy you, for it has fallen to you to achieve great things, to test yourself on a field of glory worthy of your great genius. Although,
my dear comrade, the overall plan of this campaign will be mine. I am happy to concede that the success or failure of this first military stage on which you are even now about to embark will depend on you and only you. The ultimate objective, which we will, by la grâce de Dieu, achieve together, is the bringing about of a revolution in Ireland, with the eventual goal of establishing this country as a republic. A sympathetic republic, my dear comrade, from which we can confidently strike at the very lifeblood and heart of England itself. It is permitted that I inform you, secret negotiations are already underway between the government of France and the chiefs of the revolutionary movement in Ireland. Once these have been brought to a satisfactory conclusion, I shall assume, under my personal command at Brest, one of two legions which I have created and chosen to call the Legion of France. The first of these will be comprised solely of the most proved, valiant, and courageous officers available to us.
But to your own part in all this, the Second Legion of France, of which you now find yourself in sole command, consists almost entirely of personages whose characters will doubtless already have proved unsavory, even repellent to a gentleman of your background and sense of military tradition. But, sharing as we do a mutual determination and detestation of England, I feel sure you will agree it is essential all personal scruples be now set aside.
It is our bounded duty to free this nation from the perfidies and shackles of its government and the odious aristocracy at its head. You have under your command perfidious and lost souls. Murderers, thieves, vagabonds, the scum of our beloved France. An unsavory crew, but one which I feel confident, cher comrade, submit to your unique qualities of leadership and discipline.
Leadership and discipline. Leadership and discipline.
We are and must be the bringers of liberty, the sworn enemy of the tyrant. Our motto, should we need one, destruction to the chateau, peace to the cottager. As we advance, we will open the prisons, enlist the detainees, treat as our brothers the malcontents and the oppressed. Offer them supplies and arms in the interest of our common cause. The enemies of liberty and equality will be beaten, brought to their knees. Prisoners of war will be offered no quarter. Bridges will be burned, communications disrupted, transport commandeered, harbor buildings and craft destroyed. Military forces will be demobilized, and those who resist summarily executed. And now, to the question which must, by nature, be uppermost in your minds, my comrades. Of what gain to you? Of what gain to you? I have been granted express permission by General Osh to assure you men of the Second Legion of Franks that they will not find the government of the Republic ungrateful of their efforts. In recompense for their services, and in due proportion to their individual sacrifice, it is undertaken that the condemned will be pardoned, sentences remitted or revoked, with the possibility of a new life for one and all in our beloved France or one of her fast-developing colonies. Lieutenant!
Vive la France!
Vive la France!
Vive la République!
Vive la République!
Into the boats!
Captain Montaigne.
Citizen, it is possible I can be of some service.
An imperative and confidential communication, monsieur.
Communication, but can't it wait until...
I think not, monsieur. In fact, I should strongly recommend you give it your most immediate attention.
As you please.
As it pleases you.
Though your vessel has been victualled not only for the passage of the Second Legion, but also for their support.
It is imperative, repeat, imperative, that once the army has disembarked and made sure, apart from the muskets and shot which they have already been accoutred, no further supplies of any kind be made available to them. The Legion, once landed, you will immediately, repeat, immediately, weigh anchor and proceed to the rendezvous previously dictated to you. These orders will be obeyed without question. They will also be obeyed without reference to or the knowledge of the Legion's military commander. Osh.
Your radars are clear, monsieur.
Perfectly.
Captain?
Lieutenant Jourdan.
Captain.
I roll the troops in back.
But of course.
Lay on full sail and weigh anchor. We leave at once.
Leave? No. But surely, sir, without our support, fresh water, supply...
Lieutenant, you have your orders.
Sir.
As I have mine.
Hello! La Résistance! Hello!
Gone, sir. Not even a smudge. She'll be back. She must be back.
Must she?
Sir? You mean we might be left?
A full-scale invasion would be one thing. It implies total political commitment. But, as things stand, if things don't work out, it shouldn't be difficult to explain us away. A splinter group. An unsanctioned incident carried out by a handful of insurgent extremists. Gamble, shall we say? At its best, a gamble. An outside chance. A dice that's been thrown. A card that's been played. Oh, always with the hope of reward. Victory. La gloire. Call it what you will. Except that...
Sir?
Whatever the outcome, the dice can never hope, can never expect to be recognized as anything but dice. The tools. The means whereby. It's the nature of the game.
Hola! Man the oars now! Make for the shore!
So while they was pulling for the shore, what the hell were you two doing all the time then, huh?
What were
doing,
we?
Doing, indeed. You know, that's just the odd moment when I reckon you must be a bit addled in the head. Or something, Davis.
Why?
What the hell do you think we was doing, man? Tinder to the beacon like instructed, then off down that cliff path like we had old Nick himself on our heels.
I see.
Well, with that beach teeming with foggies, you surely don't think we was going to loll around and paint a picture of it, do you?
Just wonder, that's all.
Yes, and a bit of wondering will be just about your lot in all this, I'm reckoning.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, whichever way you look at it, it was we was up there, wasn't it? Up there, risking life. And limb. And you, tucked up in bed, I shouldn't wonder. Chiffonier up against his door, his little hoard stuffed safe up the chimney, and a crucifix and a pair of pistols tucked under the counterpane to ward off the old nightmares and keep him company.
Just you watch it, what?
I know your sort, what?
And what sort is that, then, huh?
The wait and see sort. The no active path sort. Nothing that's going to put you in any danger of a froggy's bayonet, anyway.
Easy on reason.
Not you. Just sit back and hope for the best. But if the best should turn into the worst, a pretty little French tricolor hidden under your missus's chemises, all ready to hang in your parlor window to prove it's the froggy side you've been on all along.
Well, sit down if you please. Officers and gentlemen in the house now, remember?
Like you say, Mrs. Joyce.
Like you say.
Anyway, time will tell.
Aye. And even if Davis is all set to play both sides at once, well, he's not the only one around these parts, and that's for sure.
Them old jingoes, you mean?
Nothing surer.
There's a couple of them got caught at it last month in Carmarthen.
Caught at what, boy?
Trickle or sashes, if you please.
Oh.
Market day, too. But the magistrates soon knew how to deal with them.
Oh, magistrates. This is the tip of the iceberg, man. The fact that a couple of them have got the damn nerve to actually come out into the open proves that. Oh, no. It's not the one or two that end up in the dock we got to worry about, was. It's the ones that are still playing it safe. Behind closed doors, waiting for the word. Once they come out into the open, there won't be enough lockups between you and the bloody Tower of London to hold them.
I could be right.
I know I'm right.
Yeah, and even if they were, you'd probably have a froggy sympathizer up there on the bench doling out the sentences.
Strong words, Riesbach.
Strong feelings, Bach. And they'll get even stronger when those froggies really get moving.
Moving? Moving where?
Well, inland, of course. To where we are arguing a toss at this very minute.
Inland?
Well, you surely don't think they're just going to sit down there on that beach throwing dice and admiring the view for the rest of the duration, do you? Why are they here in the first place?
Them ships might come back. Pick them up now.
If that was the case, why would they go to so much trouble to bring them here, put them down in the dead of night, and then up and away and leave them then?
Give us a bit of a fright, Blake.
Bit of a fright? Well, they've had their own way about that, all right, haven't they?
Sure of ours, like.
They'll be showing a good bit more besides before this little lot is over. You take my word for it.
Hello, boys. Another bottle of best Madeira, please, Mrs. Jones. And my Lord Corder and the other gentlemen say they'll be pleased to take food at your convenience.
Another Madeira, if you please. Pleased to take food, if you please. Bit of decision-making they should be getting on with now.
Aye, exactly.
What we keeps them in style and pays our taxes for, innit?
Yes, well, what some of us pays our taxes for, any road.
And when it comes to decision-making, Davis, you do well to leave it to somebody with a head on their shoulders and a bit more between their ears than half a cartload of my best bar soda.
Nothing much really happening up there then, Broad?
No, nothing that hasn't been happening for the past 3 hours, whatever.
Just talk, and more talk, is it?
Most of it's beyond me, that's for sure, Gwilba. Yes, and for most of them sitting around that table, too, if the expressions on their faces is anything to go by.
Oh, aye.
And Corder doing most of the holding forth, like.
Oh, aye.
And Lord Milford, Death was a post on too far gone in the Madeira to know or care what's going on anyway.
And the rest of them?
Oh, just sitting back and waiting to see what is to be done.
Not much different to the rest of us, then.
No, but less of the gossip. And this bottle upstairs to the gentleman, isn't it? Please? Yes, Mrs. John.
What's to be done, money funny?
Done, my lord? Done? I should have thought it altogether too obvious what must be done.
Obvious? In theory, perhaps, Colonel Knox. Not in execution.
We must implement the militia.
We already have.
Well, then.
500 of our men against something in the region of 2,000 of theirs. The odds could hardly be described as propitious.
Oh, damn it, man. In that case, we must... Well, we must...
You were about to suggest, Colonel Knox.
We must declare an immediate state emergency.
I should have thought that the state emergency had already successfully declared itself.
You're too pessimistic, Ackland. Too damn pessimistic by half.
With all due respect, Colonel Knox, I'd suggest you're confusing pessimism with what is, in fact, a very acute sense of realism.
My thanks to your lordship.
Not looked for, sir. Not looked for. Simple statement of fact. I've already informed you, gentlemen, that we cannot anticipate, let alone expect, the arrival of our regular forces for, and this at the very least, a period of some 6 days.
Drink for your lordship.
Damn it all, my lord, the froggies aren't to know that.
I think it's only reasonable to assume they are banking on the fact. Oh. Thank you, my dear. Thank you.
In the meantime, at any event, we have them. Stranded, high and dry. No hope of retreat, no reinforcement.
Not a froggy sail to be seen.
Damned odd, that.
It's possible their frigates may have received some false report of an intended counter-offensive, of course, a hasty withdrawal.
Yes, it's possible.
On the other hand, they might have withdrawn simply to refurbish with supplies, intent on a speedy return.
Yes, also possible.
Then, if such be the case, my lord, can't you see how imperative it is we act positively and at once, while we have them at a disadvantage? An army, any army, marches on its stomach.
But, contrary to popular belief, not necessarily fight on it, sir. For it, perhaps, but not on it.
Damn it all, what's the fellow be ever talking in ribbles?
With respect, my Lord Milford, I'm quite simply advancing the proposition that the most fierce and dangerous wolf in the pack is inevitably the hungry one. In the bear gardens of old, the attacking hounds were deliberately starved to increase their ferociousness. Deliberately induced state of hunger may breed elements of mutiny and dissent, but it also engenders its own particular brand of fierce, high courage.
Well, then, if such be the case, sir, to the devil with attending on the regulars. We must...
What must we, Colonel Knox?
We must marshal the locals.
Ah, yes. Yes, the locals. There are always the locals.
When it comes to an actual confrontation, they'll fight to defend their own, I've no doubt. On the other hand, in a district as sparsely populated and remote as this, chances are the whole business will be over and decided one way or the other before your average local even realizes there's anything amiss. Besides, one vital question remains. A question to which we, as Englishmen, cannot possibly be sure of the answer.
And what might that be, my lord?
Those men out there on the beach, froggy invaders, interlopers, we call them. But until it's put to the test, gentlemen, the ultimate test, can we honestly be positive in our hearts that that isn't exactly the way a considerable proportion of the native population regard us?
Oh, come, my lord.
What's the fellow say? What's he blathering about now?
Little England beyond Wales, they call this part of the countryside, I believe. But how many of us in this room have ever taken the trouble to determine whether it was intended as a compliment or an insult? Well, how many of us seated about this table have ever pondered that notion, let alone taken the trouble to find out?
A bolder there, sir. I know these people. Haven't I lived amongst them for the greater part of my life?
With all due respect, my Lord Milford, I would dare to suggest you have been acquainted with some of them for a small portion of your life. Some have been most rigorously selected from a social minority of your own choosing. The conditions of knowing them or not knowing them were predetermined by you and only you, with a distinct bias towards conditions of birth, background, and breeding.
I should damn well think so, too, sir. A fine state of affairs when a gentleman can't even choose his friend.
Here, here.
You're surely not suggesting, my Lord Corder, that one must be expected to hobnob it with every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
I'm only suggesting that Tom, Dick, and Harry might fast be arriving at the same conclusion. You readily admit you've always pre-selected to the point of total exclusion gentlemen of your own class. Perhaps Tom, Dick, and Harry now consider it high time they joined hands with theirs.
Join hands? With the froggies? That's tantamount to treason, sir. Jesus. Blatant treason.
Only if they fully and absolutely acknowledge in their deepest hearts the British monarchy and system of government as their own.
Damn well, they would.
I'm sure we all hope, gentlemen. But already in Ireland and our American colonies, the hope seems to have been ill-founded. The contrary proved to be true. Why shouldn't the same happen here?
Because we know it won't, sir.
We know them.
No, no. We recognize them, gentlemen. We are acquainted with them, gentlemen. And they, in turn, have touched their forelocks and seem to return our recognition. But what of their true feelings towards us? Their natural, God-given alienation? What of their unique language, their culture, which we, in all honesty, cannot flatter ourselves we've ever attempted to appreciate, let alone comprehend. In brief, the attitude that through centuries of English domination has always remained exclusively theirs. What do we know? Only, my lords, that the steel is on the anvil, the hammer is poised, and the sparks must surely fly.
Gwenny Morris Trehowell in nattering away 19 to the dozen and pulling a jar of ale for what she takes to be British officers, see?
Always could natter the hind leg of a donkey.
Well, suddenly it comes to her not British at all, man.
You don't mean...
Damn froggy, if you please.
Never.
Hold as brass and leaning up against that bar like he owns the blinking place.
Well, what happened to Gwenny then, what?
Well, froggy through the front door, so we saw Gwenny straight out of the park, isn't it? Ran best part of 3 miles screaming blue murder, but still clutching that ale pot to her and not spilling a drop of the stuff.
Always a bit slow under the bonnet, that Gwenny.
Oh.
Well, might have given herself just a bit of a puff, if only to get the damn jar down her.
Fire, Martin! Run, run, run!
Heard about old Squire Mortimer up at the manor, then?
What's that, then, love?
Son's wedding breakfast all laid out lovely, and the old fellow being very partial to his new daughter-in-law to be even more lavish with heart and hand than usual.
Always lavish, the Squire.
Anyway, sees those old boats pulling into the bay, so nothing would do but he sends down his compliments. And would all the officers and men come up and join in the celebrations, if you please?
Yes, boys.
Takes him up on it, too. Standing on his own front porch, hand extended, when his froggy guests come marching up the garden path.
Written a little get-together for a wedding breakfast, whatever.
Fire, Martin! Run, run, run!
Yato Howells, Prescott, have the pleasure of watching the Froggy Devils making themselves at home in his own front parlor, if you please.
Go on.
A ragamuffin lot, too, by all accounts, all gesticating with their limbs and screeching with their lungs.
Ach, have ye.
Not able to understand a word of the lingo, of course, but on his own half, mind you, and this big brass pan full of his geese and chickens, all half-feathered, and him cramming the pan with the best butter from a cask.
Damn, damn, and all.
Worse to follow. Shouts from the cellar, and they found his port and brandy, too, and they... Gets out of hand eventually, of course, and one of them spots the face of that old clock standing in the corner.
Lovely bit of clock.
Was a lovely bit of clock.
Oh.
French, he lets fly with his pistol and his springs and workings all over the place.
Shame, and Yancy.
But all control to the winds in it. Brennan, my word, he yells, the Machins have killed our 8-day clock. A bit of a chase, but the Froggies gets him in the end, and if reputations is anything to go by, they probably popped him into the brass pan by now, keeping his geese and chickens company.
A feathery end, to be sure.
I have plenty of wings to hand. Lovely. So all set to keep the angels company.
Fire, Martin! Run, run, run!
The latest?
Don't tell.
Two of the devils, straight into Londoner Church.
Not Londoner.
One helps himself to the plate.
Not the plate?
One burns the assocks.
Not the assocks?
Yes, and then it's off out again, without so much as a prayer of thanks or a copper for the poor box.
Must have been a terrible pong with that old horse, eh?
Fire, Martin! Run, run, run!
But not all on the black side, boys.
Oh, and how come that, then?
Well, like Blodge here was telling us a bit back.
Oh?
Jemima Nichols, just back from her old man's funeral.
Yes, rest in peace.
When, from her kitchen window, she spots a whole crowd of blackies.
Yes, they're down in her chicken run.
Sucking raw eggs for all they was worth.
And screwing the necks of some of her best layers.
Never.
Well, you know our Jemima.
Oh, no fear for anything that walks on two legs, our Jemima.
So, it's musket off the wall, a quick blast in the general direction of those froggy backsides.
That's Jemima.
Well, at that range, no great damage then, of course. But one look at Jemima, they screams blue murder.
It's off back down that lane, as fast as their froggy legs can carry them.
Good old Jemima.
You can say that again, Wass. Hey. A few more Jemimas about the place, and they wouldn't wait for those blinking figures to come back and pick them up. They'd be more than happy to make a swim for it.
And that's exactly the way it struck me, too, your lordship. First go off any road. But on thinking it over a bit and putting two and two together, like, not so positive it was that old shotgun of Jemima's that did the trick at all, really.
With due respect, young lady, you're not making a hell of a lot of sense.
Oh, I can see that's the way it must be seeming to his lordship. And maybe the missus is right, and a damn cheek of me even to think of bothering somebody like his lordship with such a daft old notion in the first place.
Missus. Oh, yes. The missus, yes.
Oh, I can tell you, all hell let loose if she suspected I was up here at all. Especially with us being...
Us being what?
Well, what I mean to say is us being just the two of us together. Well, alone, like.
For God's sake, I hope you're not insinuating that I'd possibly take advantage of...
No. I'm begging your lordship's pardon. It's not me that's doing insinuating, but on account of the old rules, see?
Rules?
Aye, the missus' rules, sir.
I see. Well, now, to return to the subject in hand.
I'd like that.
God knows, we've little enough time left as it is.
Especially with the old missus on the prowl and all.
I was referring to the military situation.
Oh, aye. Well, now, 6 days' march, wasn't it, your lordship said, before the regular militia even stood a chance of getting you. 6 days then, you're a five now.
How the hell did you know that?
Oh, not eavesdropping or anything, your lordship. Only couldn't help overhearing, like, when I comes in with the Madeira through the door. Only, don't worry, your lordship, it's all right. Not so daft as to let on to the others, whatever.
Yes, well, that's something to be thankful for, anyway. Large-scale panic's about all we need. Still, when it comes to the crunch, 6 days, 5 days at this stage of the game, what the hell does it matter? The Froggies are getting more cocksure themselves every minute.
Aye, and from where your lordship's sitting, a miss being as good as a mile.
Exactly.
Now, which is why I thinks, with you gentlemen just sitting up here, getting more bogged down with every minute and all... Well, nothing to be lost with me coming straight out with a little plan I've had in my own mind, so to speak. Well, with your lordship's permission, of course.
Then straight out with it, let it be, woman.
Right, right. Well, now, it all really begins with the old devils taking a pot shot at my petty that first day when they pulled into the bay, see?
A pot shot at your petty?
Oh, to direct it, your lordship. Look, considerable damage of a very strategic area.
Yes, quite.
Well, you see, apart from wanting to ring their blinking necks, no more thought about it at the time. Though not saying a nice bit of red flannel for all that. Red rag to a bull, is what Robert says at the time. And somehow, your lordship, somehow, the words just sort of stuck, see?
Fascinating.
So when those froggies panics and runs like hell from Jemima Nichols' chicken cot, first thing that comes to my mind, so to speak.
Oh, but damn it, anybody would have panicked. The woman had just fired a barrel of shotgun at him.
Aye, but well out of range, your lordship. And old Jemima, too, so short-sighted, can't even spot a haystack in a meadow.
They weren't to know that.
Aye, but see, you'd have thought they'd have put up some kind of fight. I mean, nigh on a score of them. And only one of poor Jemima.
Well, they weren't to know that either.
Agreed. But if you was to ask me, it was what they saw. Or thought they saw what really did the trick.
Oh?
Aye. On account of Jemima, just back from a poor man's funeral, and still got up in a Sunday best, see?
Sunday best?
Red whittle shawl. High black hat, your lordship. Well? Oh, do, for goodness sake, man. At the distance the froggies were away from her when she let loose of that musket, don't you see what they must have taken her for? A red coat, isn't it? One of the regulars, man. And standing there in front of them 6 whole days before they was even expecting a smell of them. Your lordship?
Well, it's possible.
Do, man, it's more than possible. It's the only explanation, isn't it?
Neat enough bit of deception, I'll grant you.
Then if they drops their arms and takes to their heels like that over one Jemima, what would the result be if you could pull the same trick, your lordship, with, say, 500 of them?
500?
Not every woman in the county, maybe, but every red whittle shawl and tall black hat we could lay our hands on. March them up and down in front of those froggy devils, and do, your lordship, you'd scare them from here to kingdom come.
Yes, all got up in breeches and boots to complete the picture.
Oh, no need. No need for neither. Look, if they was to stick close to that cliff wall with only their top half showing, no need.
Yeah, but even if it worked, and it's a very big if, 500 against a French force of 2,000?
Oh, 2,000 of ours, let it be 2. Or 4,000. 20,000, if your lordship so pleases.
Yes, well, I don't see.
No, well, I didn't think you would. I didn't think you would. Now, come here. I'm not up to your old charts, but a little picture's already drawn for your lordship's benefit now, then. Now, to begin with, here's the bay, see, where the froggies is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm. And here, there's the cliff wall. Good bit off, see? Well out of range of the musket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we do is, march the 500 along behind the wall to the end, right? Making a bold front of it, like.
Well, what then?
Then, we comes to this bit of a dip in the ground, see?
Oh, which makes the leaders invisible to the French.
Oh, you got it, boy. And that gives them a chance to double back down the side lane here, down there, to the back of the hill, where they first comes from, and we start all over again.
Yes, the way the effect is sometimes managed in the theatre, you mean.
Yeah, well, if that's the way it is managed, then that's the way it is managed. But you take Blood's word for it, your lordship, Bach. As far as our purpose is concerned, managed it will be. I'm not well enough. Your lordship?
Well, don't just sit there, girl. Recruit your army.
At once, your lordship, at once.
Times this have we been round now, then?
Lord only knows, love. I lost count.
Oh, so many times up and down behind this blinking wall, I got to know every damn stone in the thing.
You're out of step again, Esther Harley.
Oh.
And you, Kitty Davis?
What?
How many more times have I got to tell you to keep that blinking broomstick steady on your shoulder? It's a military exercise you're on now, girl. Not a ready spring cleaning.
Yes, Colonel, miss.
Oh, should be, sir. And you can just keep your own lips to yourself, Kitty Davis, or you'll have me to answer with.
Now, Lord Love, comrades in arms and united against a common enemy, remember?
Right, matter of national interest, isn't it?
Well, it's already beaten. They've gone and tapped out on, isn't it?
The no-blinking English loyalist, neither mind. As far as I'm concerned, Corder and his old ruddy crew can push off back where they comes from. But when there's no lava bread in the pantry and the only choice is between roast beef of old England or frog's leg pie, well, settle for roast beef back any time. Hey, let's have a talk up there.
You, Brenda Griffiths. Next time round, let's have those flowing locks of yours back under the apple. Oh, and a step. A bit more martial, if you please.
Why, right, too, Blood? Well, I don't want giving those old froggies the wrong impression, do we, boys?
Cardigan Bay, 5th Vontos, 5th year of the Republic. Sir, the circumstances under which the body of troops under my command were landed at this place render it unnecessary to attempt any military operations, as they would tend only to bloodshed and pillage. The officers of the whole corps have, therefore, intimated their desire of entering into a negotiation upon principles of humanity for a surrender. If you are influenced by similar considerations, you may signify the same to the bearer, and in the meantime, hostilities shall cease. Health and respect, Tate, Chef de Brigade.
Fish Guard, February the 23rd. Sir, the superiority of the force under my command, which is hourly increasing, must prevent my treating upon any other terms short of your surrendering your whole force prisoners of war. I enter fully into your wish of preventing an unnecessary effusion of blood, which your speedy surrender can alone prevent, and which will entitle you to that consideration. It is ever the wish of British troops to show an enemy whose numbers are inferior. My major will deliver you this letter, and I shall expect your determination by 10 o'clock. Cawdor.
Well, Cawdor, look sure enough about the way things have gone, whatever. All got up like a dog's dinner.
Cross between a conquering hero and the bridegroom on his wedding night.
Even old Milford seems to have managed to pull himself together a bit. Hanging on to that old porch like grim death for a bit of support, mind, but at least...
Enoch?
Anything, Enoch?
30 years ago, I had a vision. 30 years, and yet it has come true. But wait and listen. You shall hear the drums are sounding as I heard them that night. Listen. Listen.
Of Cawdor?
I have the honor, sir. General Tate?
Citizen now, sir. Or so it would seem.
As it pleases. To your business, sir.
In the name of the Republic and the Second Legion of Franks under my command, I offer my sword as a token of surrender and defeat.
In the name of His Britannic Majesty and the force under my command, I accept, sir. Now to your men, sir.
Lieutenant, surrender arms.
Surrender arms. En avant.
En avant.
En avant.
En avant.
En avant. En avant.
En avant.
En avant.
En avant.
You know, Lisbach, if one didn't know there was froggies, a body could almost feel.
En avant.
Feel?
Oh, tis no matter.
Wailing Thomas Preston was no every tide from England to Greenland without guide. Wailing Thomas Preston was take the spyglass
Damn well ashamed of yourself you ought to be, Blood and Poor, but ashamed.
Well, I am not, Reese Robert Bach. So no good putting it on that I am, is there?
It's bad enough paying call on these froggy devils, regular as clock, when they was locked up in St. Mary's. But to deliberately persuade me into carting you all the way to Pembroke Town so as you can...
Persuading you? Ooh, I like that. Nobody persuaded you, Reese Bach. Very kind of you to put yourself out. I'm not saying...
but you're not putting myself out, neither, my girl. If not for having to travel to market to replace some of my best milkers, those damn froggies fill their bellies with, you'll be pack-muling it down here, same as you have been every weekend for the past 3 months.
Four.
What?
4 months. Ooh, Reese Roberts not getting his facts right. That'll never do.
And for what, I should like to know? A load of cheap knick-knacks made of straw, bones, and beads, which you could get off any old tinker.
But, which helps to put a few extra coppers into Blood's purse, as well as affording them a few nice little extras of their own. Oh, but that's a nice dry day for it, whatever.
Golden prison be damned.
Hey, Corder's Yacht and Harbour. Oh, makes a pretty sight of it, doesn't it?
Yes, and how you manages to work yourself inside the place beats me.
Never was a great one for keeping your ears open, was you, eh? Jemima's got a friend called Francis, right? Who is daughter to the jailer, see? Anyway, when Jemima hears what I was after, and owing me the odd favour and all that, Jemima gets a message to Francis, who gets her and her father...
Say no more. Word from Jemima Nichols, and you could wangle your way through the gates of hell, and that's a fact. Oh, boy.
Hey, what you putting us down here for, then?
Well, it's Golden Prison we're making for your ladyship, not Lord Corder's mansion. So, if it pleases your ladyship, I'll just leave the carriage round the corner and we'll hoof it the rest of the way, attracting as little attention as possible.
Suit yourself, I'm sure. Hey, did you say it was we was going to that damn hellhole?
Yes, well, you don't think I'd let you go in amongst that load of brigands on your own, do you?
Don't see why not.
Why not?
It wouldn't be the first time.
Why not?
You were about to say, Reese?
Yes, well,
Yes?
Yes, well, it's me that got you here, so there's responsibilities now, isn't there?
Like you say, Reese. Like you say.
Not too much trouble getting inside the hellhole, I'll grant you. I only hope that jailer father of yours doesn't take it into his head to toss away the keys and forget to let us out. That's all, Francis.
Not much fear of that, Mr. Roberts. Go on, yeah. So knows the way to the place.
Oh, Darrow, I nearly went then. Look, hold the lantern a bit steadier then, Blood girl. What a hurry. It's not as though your precious froggies is going to vanish into thin air before we get there, is it?
No, like you say, no fear of that.
What's that big bundle of straw you're carrying there, then, Francisca?
Straw? Oh, yes, the straw. For the froggies to make hats out of. See this? That's it. Bring the Frenchies this much more safe.
All right. Very well, I'll pass it over. I'll give you a hand.
Oh, no. I'd rather carry it myself, if you don't mind, Mr. Roberts. Thanking you all the same.
Oh, well, how come that, then?
Not heavy, see? We don't want it scattering all over the place, do we?
Scattering? Look, do you think I've never carried a truss of straw before or something? This allowance seems a bit on the heavy side for just a truss to me. What you got in the middle of it?
Middle of it?
Well, in the middle of the truss, girl.
Well, just a bit of old bone, isn't it?
Bone?
You call it bone, man. What do you think they make their buttons and ivory boxes out of? It isn't bone.
I've no idea, I'm sure. Unless it was ivory.
Ivory, indeed. Ivory, Francis. Oh, on the pittance they can get together. Reese, Robert, Reese, if you can't talk sense, stop talking to daft. All right for us to go through, Ross?
Well, to be sure, Mrs. Francis. Leastwise, all right for you and Blood, will you? Oh, but who is this scarecrow? New recruit or something?
Oh, scarecrow,
no,
is
no,
that?
No. It's just local. Reese Robert kills Shaw, love. Though, a bit on the meager side, I grant you. Friend of Lord's. Want to see the Frenchies at work, like...
Gazino.
Father said it would be all right, Ross.
No, they're all right, it is, isn't it? If your father gives a nod, you can take him in and leave him there, if you don't mind too, my lovely. Oh. One more or less not going to make much difference amongst that little lot, and that's for sure.
Les anges du ciel.
Angels of the ceiling? What the hell's the fellow on about?
Oh, a bit of manners, if you please. Oh, don't you go troubling your head about that, my lovely.
Claude, où est monsieur le commissaire?
Ah, monsieur le commissaire, eh?
S'il vous plaît.
La chambre voisine, ma petite.
Claude, eh? Oh, in a minute. Hey, Reese, love, if it's all the same to you, to wait a minute or two, but we've got a bit of private business.
Oh, aye. And what is so private about this place, then? Can't I come into the chamber of Austin and see this Monsieur Commissary with you, then? Yes, and while we're about it, what's all this letting a common froggy slobber all over your arm like that?
He's not a common froggy. He's a gentleman.
Why? Oh, begging your pardon, I'm sure.
Oh, there. Now, don't sulk now, as a good boy. Only, see, Monsieur le Commissaire, apart from being an engineer, sees to all the accounts, like, see? No, better than in private, like him.
All right, but not more than 2 minutes, mind.
Yes, my lovely. Hey, one or two things you can give his hand to carry on the way out, right? Thank you, Rosh.
Pleasure, I'm sure.
Bye, Rosh.
See, you've decided to give the old scarecrow his reprieve, then.
Oh. One or two things you can give us a hand to carry, Manna, for me.
No, stop your moaning, man.
Yes, Gilmore. These buckets weigh a ton.
If I'd known the way you was going to act up, I wouldn't have taken you inside in the first place.
That is all very well for you, Blodgen Corbett. Not you that is playing the pack mule. But what you got in the old things, anyway?
Dirty clothes.
Dirty clothes.
Well, even the Frenchies have got to have a bit of clean linen, I hope.
Dirty?
But mostly it's the sweepings up from the workbenches, see. Francis and me will dump it along with the rest of the rubbish once we get beyond the wall, won't we? Yeah, shouldn't take us long.
Yes, well, I'll help you to dump it. I might as well.
No.
Oh?
Well, I mean, the worst is over now, isn't it, Lisa? See you back at the inn a bit later, isn't it?
Well, suit yourselves. I've done my share of the slog for one day's work, and that's for sure.
You have indeed, Rhys Bach. You have indeed.
What's that? Frenchies? What's that they say? Hey, you! Hello!
Sir!
What's that you say?
Frenchies! Away, sir, away!
Away?
A clean gone, sir, by all accounts.
Not from the Golden, not possible.
Not ever been done before, we grant you, sir.
Then how?
Hole in the ground, sir, 60 yards, along the wall. Straight into the prison, by all accounts. Pails and buckets full of earth. In, out, sir. In, out. For the Lord knows how long. But always disguised to look like something else, by all accounts.
Something else?
You got it. Grew, an engineer behind the door, by all accounts. Burrows like moles, with no other tools than the leg bones of horses, sir.
Bones of horses?
You got it. 100 or more of them clean away, sir. And a bit of local female company into the bargain.
Local, did you say?
500 guineas reward for them, dead or alive, by all accounts. Then he's off to the harbour with a lot of them, and puts off with my Lord Corders, York, if you please.
Corders, did you say?
But with a few provisions aboard and half a gale blowing up, be lucky if they makes it after all.
Oh, and a damn sight unlucky for somebody if they do.
By all accounts. Night, you, sir. Night.
Night.
Mostly old sweepings from the workbenches, isn't it? We'll dump it for the rest of the rubbish once we get beyond the wall, won't we, Francis? Shouldn't take us long.
But when?
Bit of old bone, isn't it? Well, what do you think they make their buttons and ivory boxes out of if it isn't bone?
But when?
Oh.
far.
Look, then. Oh. My foot, then. Dear Isbach, I hope this finds you well as it leaves me at present. You was always so good to me, so I penned this line to say I am no longer Blodwyn Probert, but Madame Rue.
Yes, me and Jack have married, only he likes it writ, Jacques, which is a terrible old trouble anyway. We get along lovely. So likewise do Frances and her young man, Peter, which were the commissar, and she is now Madame Lebrun. We did a lot for they lads, which they was grateful. Perhaps you'd like to hear that after we got away in his lordship's yacht, after you'd kindly helped us to burrow out of jail, we come in for 3 days of fog. Then we meets up with his brig and tells them we were shipwrecked. So they takes us aboard. Fan and me dressed up as lads. That night, we were too many for the crew of the brig as knocked under. And made them steer for France. So here we be.
Here we be. Hoping to see you soon, I remains your humble servant to command.
From the Pembrokeshire Gazette, February the 8th, 1880. The death of Pembrokeshire centenarian. The death occurred on Sunday morning at the Dufferin Cottages near Fishguard of Blodwyn Probert Rue at the ripe old age of 103. Her age is pretty accurately fixed by a statement she was wont to make that she was just past 20 years old when the French landed at Fishguard. She had been bedridden for 8 years. When the historic incident occurred, she was in service at Killshaw, near Fishguard.
In Frog's Legs and Lava Bread, a play for radio by William Ingram, Blodwyn Probert was played by Elizabeth Morgan, Rhys Roberts by William Ingram, and Gwilym Thomas by Windsor Davis. Nesta, Jan Edwards, Kitty, Kate Binchy, Mrs. Jones, Alwyn Griffiths, Colonel Vaughan, William Slay, Corporal Harris, Robin Brown, Will Morgan, Douglas Blackwell, Davis, Sean Probert, Enoch, Talrin Thomas, Di Morgan, Anthony Hall, Lord Corder, John Gabriel, Jonah, Sean Probert, Tate, Kevin Flood, General Osh, Nigel Anthony, Lord Milford, Robin Brown, Colonel Ackland, Douglas Blackwell, Colonel Knox, David Goodison, Brenda, Alwyn Griffiths, and Francis, Jan Edwards. The children's choir was trained and conducted by Edwina Evans, and the mouth organ was played by Elfie Kahn. The production was by Betty Davis.